One more episode in 2023. Thank you guys so much for joining us this year. We can't wait to continue doing this in 2024, build this into something bigger and better, always trying to improve. This will be our last episode before the bowl game. We'll recap the bowl game on Wednesday the 3rd, and then we'll be back to regularly scheduled programming that following Monday. Higgins is back. Milton is out. A lot to talk about today. Let's have a day. Let's go. Into the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. We're back for another episode, the final episode 2023. We got rid of Drake, podcast upgraded, the NIL.
Got rid of might be a stretch.
Yeah, you're right. We didn't get rid of him. The transfer portal is just out of control in conjunction with NIL. College football is completely different from 10 years ago when Kevin and I entered the scene.
10 and a half now.
It's a wild world out there. What'd you say?
10 and a half years now.
Yeah. How do you feel at 29?
I feel great.
Yeah.
I actually feel phenomenal. You know, I had kind of a rough stretch there last year and a half or so with some injuries, but I'm feeling really good now.
You swimming these days?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Is that a once a week thing?
Typically. I'm probably going to do a triathlon next year, so I'm going to ramp that up steadily over the next 6 to 7 months. But, yeah, doing once a week, and it's going pretty well.
I was
going
to bring up that we should book the Ironman and just start training for it.
Let's walk before we can run and just do a triathlon first. You know, don't need to be putting ourselves out there for a 3-mile swim, not being able to do it. And then, you know, you just drown off the coast of Hawaii.
Well, I don't think we're going to fucking Hawaii to do our first Ironman, but.
Hey, man. It's all or nothing. If you're not ready to compete against the best, what's the point of competing?
It's true. Yeah, you're right. It's only 2.4 miles, I think.
Yeah, I forget what it is.
That's a lot of swimming, though.
It's a lot of swimming.
Yeah, it is.
That's so much swimming, actually.
It's a solid, like, 90 minutes of swimming, I'm pretty sure.
It's easier in the ocean, though, because the salt makes you a little bit more buoyant.
It's true.
But you also have waves and a current and that fun stuff. You don't have a black line on the bottom of the pool to make sure you're swimming straight, either.
Yeah, it's... That would be tough. You're probably right. We should probably do some shorter triathlon distance stuff before we jump into that. I'm sure there's plenty of people who have done that stuff in the listening right now that will provide their advice.
Garrett did the half one in Des Moines earlier this summer. Garrett Jansen.
I think Ironman did come to Des Moines this year.
I think they did a half Ironman.
Yeah. So 1.2, 72. And 13. I believe you're right. A good Ironman time is like
sub 10 hours.
Yeah, 10 hours.
Pretty damn good. Yeah,
it's like elite. What are you doing for physical fitness these days, Grant? You getting it in back in Colorado? There, you got a gym you go to. You go to the YMCA, the Anytime Fitness.
No, I go to Allen Gym and Fitness here in the basement. So got a little bike I like to ride. I've just been doing a series of really bad, unmotivated workouts lately. It's hard right now. When also my diet is like eggnog and cookies, basically, the past few days.
That's so fine, man, because between the 25th and the 1st, it don't count. Diet starts on Tuesday.
That's what I heard. Is that in the Kluver fitness package? Just don't worry about anything this week.
Yeah, because if you're going to start the challenge next week, why does this week matter?
That's a great point.
It's true. If you're going to be part of the challenge, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. If you really want to get into the weeds of it, somebody who is actually like signed up for like an actual as a Tyler Kluver client, the advice that they get during this time of year is that more often than not, maintenance is progression. right? So what does that mean? That means that because of life, holidays, end of the year work stuff, a ton of travel, the weather gets colder, motivation drops, seasonal depression, you're fighting against a lot more than you are than, say, June, right? And if you're in it for the long haul, which I don't sign up clients that aren't in, like, they're with me for like 3-6 months minimum. 1 week, or even call it a month between Thanksgiving to Christmas, as long as you're just keeping your head above water, and of course we're trying to do better, but as long as you come out of that with your head above water, you did better than 90% of people who go backwards during this last month of the year, at a maybe a higher rate than they already were. So yeah. And then of course, everybody, even I, as like the fitness guy, I feel that motivation when the first hits, you got that fresh calendar. It's like day one. It's like, you, for some reason, psychologically, we get that whole new start. And even
new me,
and everybody knows it's bullshit. It was nothing was different the day before, but even me, who's like, I'm the one who's like psychologically immune to all that stuff. Even I feel that, like, the day clicks over and you're like, what should I, Kevin and I did it in college. We literally had a year that we dedicated to year of the hard bod. And when it clicked over on January 1st, actually it would have been when we came back, which would have been like the second end of the second week of January. So call it January 10th. We called it year of the hard bod. We dedicated ourselves to like these nice, like, protein spinach shakes at night. Every night, Kevin and I, you walk into 337 Benton, we were hitting push-ups, sit-ups, sometimes pull-ups in the garage.
Ooh.
It was cold. We had a pull-up bar in the garage, though.
Oh, yeah. Your hands would, like, freeze to that thing.
Just cold as shit.
Yeah.
And you know, you want to know what? I never...
This was back before global warming, too. Like, it was cold back then.
It was cold. I think global warming might be real. There might be something to that. We made it all the way to Christmas with no snow.
Really?
And that's not... What?
Really?
I mean, it's flurried the last couple days, but nothing's really stuck.
Oh, I didn't know.
I think there was one day, like 3 weeks ago, where it stuck for a night.
Yeah, I think the snow plows have worked like one day this entire...
Yeah, there's nothing on the ground right now.
Wow.
It's probably a little different than Colorado.
Yeah, well, didn't it snow in the first week of December or something?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. There was one day where it stuck for like a night, and then it was gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've never, as far as benching goes, I've never benched more than when we were doing like 100 pushups a night in that spring. I broke my PR bench that spring, and it was because I did pushups.
Yeah, I mean, was that our senior year or junior? But you know, you're
16.
Yeah, so it's like you're towards the end of like your easy gains as a developing athlete, you know, gains become a lot harder to go by.
Have you broken any recent PRs?
So much in the weightlifting category, because I don't really do, I don't hand clean a whole lot anymore. I don't do a whole lot of barbell back squat anymore. I do a decent amount of bench, but I'm nowhere near where I was when I was 30 pounds heavier.
Right. The days of you and I breaking our PRs in bench, deadlift, squat, clean are...
So, I mean, I don't squat anymore, but I think I'm probably stronger in my lower body than I was in college.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I do a ton of the stuff that DeMarco does.
Just split stuff.
Split stance, single leg stuff. Yeah.
No.
I've gotten pretty strong at that.
But no, I think we had a request to have DeMarco back on last week. Somebody,
top five guest.
I think he's a top five guest. Speaking of, last episode of the year, 2023 comes to a close. Any favorite moments on the podcast this year? Can you think of any? Grant, you were with us for basically the entire year. It was but a year ago, essentially, that you sent your email. How do you feel, by the way, 1 year into the walk-on? This is basically this process.
I was trying to figure out what the day was. See if actually, not that long ago. It was some like 380 or something. I don't really know. But 1 year it's pretty cool. I mean, I guess there's still time to figure that out. To see the full year. Maybe we can touch on that later. I don't know. I do say that Spencer Petras doing a impression of Kirk Ferentz ordering a pizza. Mm. It total surprise too was pretty awesome. And then obviously, I mean, Ted and you was like the top five moment of my life. So
right.
That's hard to not be on the top five walk-on moments for me in general. So there's definitely a lot of really cool things, but those two kind of jump off for most memorable.
I mean, it's definitely the beer release for me. I don't think it's even a close second for myself.
Damn, okay, that was pretty cool. Yeah, I forgot about that.
We did a couple cool things this year.
Yeah, nice. How about it?
It was a really cool year.
Yeah. Beer release is definitely top five. Tight end, you definitely top five.
Yeah.
I guess that whole experience goes into itself. Like you could have several different moments. Like Bakhtiari just walking up to the practice field and just being like, "Hey, where are we starting out here today?" Like that was just that's just so casual and funny. Yeah. Like that's that moment in itself.
I always thought it was funny where we were going around and George Kittle would introduce us to everyone. Yeah. He'd be like, "Yeah, I played with all three of these guys except for Grant." And it's like, I think they could put that together. That, like, I think that they could assume that the scrawny little guy
with the camera
is not the XD1 football player. I think they could put that together.
I liked how
he's a kicker. You wouldn't have been the smallest guy that we ever played with.
No.
Who's the smallest?
JP.
Keith or Shudak, right?
JP was pretty small.
Dang. Okay.
JP was pretty small.
I'll take that.
Speaking of JP, it was Hawks versus Tennessee.
And yeah, do you wanna catch a kickoff and then throw it back into the field of play?
Just for anyone to jump on?
Just for anyone to fucking jump on.
You quite literally, along with many of other fellow Americans that shouldn't find themselves onto a field, could have performed better on that single play than a very high caliber athlete that we had on.
See, that's one of those rare occasions where like anyone could say, "I literally could have done better."
That is one of the spots.
Literally just by not catching the ball and just like letting it go where it may, I'm sure like either someone would have jumped on it or gone out of bounds, gone in the end zone. Like,
yeah,
done better. Yeah.
It was quite literally worst case scenario. We got the ball. Like, we didn't give it away. That would have been worst case. But we were one step away from that.
Yeah.
Top five moment. Beer release. Tight end you. I'm trying to think of stuff in the spring. I'm trying to think of guests that we had on this year.
Jack Campbell, great guest.
Jack was a good guest.
He was just full of just – there was like 15 different quote cards.
Riley Moss was a great guest.
I liked having the coaches on. They were cool.
Oh yeah,
coaching staff.
Coach Ray.
We dipped into the coaches this summer. That was cool.
Yeah,
Luca Garza.
We got Luca on.
Great guest.
He actually over delivered. I didn't know what.
We got a bunch of time with him too. We got over an hour, I think.
Yeah, that guy could talk.
Tristan Wirfs.
T Daddy's always good.
Awesome.
Drake leaving the podcast. Top five moment
again.
Drake leaving the podcast for the fourth time in 5 years. We had our 5 year anniversary as a show, as a brand.
Oh, congrats, you guys.
Will we make it another 5 years?
Doubtful.
I think there's plus money on that.
Mm-hmm.
At least as we are.
I mean, the company will probably always exist just because of the t-shirt.
Yeah.
Of the merch. Like, there's no reason to get rid of it, but yeah, as the podcast in its current form will probably not last another 5 years.
It's so sad.
Yeah, well, hey man, we've been doing this for longer than we were actually Iowa Hawkeyes now, so put that in perspective.
That's wild.
You're right. We were technically only,
Iowa Hawkeyes for 4 years and... Well, I got there in June, so 7 months for myself.
Yep. It's just sad.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you, Kev. See, here's where I'm at. And Grant knows this because I pondered this in a DHT episode that I soloed a couple weeks ago. And whoever listened to DHT would know this. I am very curious to know where your fandom of the program goes when the current coaching staff does not look the same?
It would be heavily dependent on who is the next head coach.
Yeah, and I think I even said that part.
I mean, I don't think it's like a crazy thing to say. Like, yeah, you're going to support a program more if like a person that you knew for 5 years and still like, you know, takes over and like you had a personal relationship with that person versus, you know, somebody who you maybe know of, maybe you've met in passing, maybe spent time on the staff when you weren't there. Like you can be supportive of that hire, but it's not like it's one of your guys, you know, that's that you're cheering for and rooting for, right?
Yeah. When KF is done, obviously that's who coached us at the top. And then if it's not LeVar or Seth or
bring Brian back, we'd love to head coach.
I don't think it's out of this realm to say that Brian would do much better as a head coach than he has done as OC. I would put every amount of money I have on that. But I'm also a Brian Ferentz apologist. I just slob on the knob, right? So that's what people think. But it's almost impossible to do worse than at last. And Brian is a incredible motivator and people person inside the program. And I think that he as a head coach will succeed greatly one day somewhere. But yeah, you're right, Kev. My question is, Kevin currently has a level of care to stay connected to the podcast, to do the in-season, like, hey, we'll recap the games and we'll preview the games, right? Mm-hmm. The out-of-season stuff may fall into a different thing for you, because if we're still interviewing people that we know or people that we played with, you might still be interested in that stuff.
No, yeah, I always enjoy talking to some. We have some really cool and interesting guests that I love having conversations with, and when it's our friends, that's always fun, because, like, right, you know, we're getting old, everyone's got kids now, and it's honestly hard just to hash out an hour just to talk and catch up, you know?
Yeah. But at what point and what orientation of the coaching staff does Kevin go, I just don't care to hop on and do an hour about this anymore?
If they hire Matt Campbell or Scott Frost,
Well, I don't think,
all right, that's I've got no connection to this thing whatsoever anymore. I'll watch it on TV, and best of luck to the guys. I don't know how much more money the Hawkeye football program is going to get out of me.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. Where does it go?
There's two different spectrums, two different ends of the spectrum.
If that would be a twist if Matt Campbell took over the Iowa.
Well, I just make that joke because literally any open coaching job, like, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, word is that Matt Campbell is interested.
That one fake Twitter account always. Yeah. Sources say Matt Campbell will be accepting the job within hours.
Yeah. Sources say Matt Campbell is the top target for the job.
He is highly expected to.
Which I guess made sense for about like 3 years there. He took a pretty struggling Iowa State and like he got him to be competitive.
Yeah.
He's never taken him over. Like he's plateaued as a program.
Yeah. No, yeah. He won a Fiesta Bowl in a year no one could practice. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, he beat like a 3-4 Oregon team or something like that.
And they really hang their hat on that, like a lot.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you, right? I'm sure if we did, we would do the same. But I 2020 as a year in general just does not count for anything.
Yeah, I agree. Christmas. We're on the heels of Christmas, the holiday season. I'm sure you guys have both, maybe not, but I'm sure you've celebrated at this point all the Christmases that you're going to do. Do we have a favorite gift that we received this year? Kevin, I saw that on Alyssa's social that you guys hosted Christmas.
Yeah, so I was on call for Christmas this year, so I was not able to make it back to the Chicagoland. We usually do our Christmas on Christmas Eve and then do the in-laws on Christmas Day. But since I was here the whole time, my parents and her parents actually ended up coming out on Christmas Day. So we got to spend the majority of the day with them. So yeah, we uh, we we cooked up a nice little Christmas dinner and got to spend some time with our folks.
How about it?
Yeah.
A favorite gift?
Favorite gift was,
gift of family.
Yeah. Gift of family, gift of loved ones in the
house. That's bullshit. Grant, did you have a favorite gift?
With one being the gift of family.
Jesus Christ. I can't fucking do it with you two.
What? I'm not allowed to appreciate my family? Is that not allowed here?
That's very you have that 24.
Can I not? I'm not at Christmas Day in my house every single year.
That's a very mature take of you, Grant, and I support it.
Thank you. Yeah. But also, I don't know, I got my grandma got me some shoes that I liked.
Okay.
What type of shoes?
Cole Haan.
Oh, yeah. I felt Cole Haan a little bit.
Very, oh, yeah. Lightweight.
Very nice.
The soles on the inside of those?
Yeah.
The best.
Little like snazzy shoes or like what?
They're like a hybrid between those. Okay. Like they look nice, but they got the athletic kind of bottom to them.
Yeah. Nice.
Yep. I got a couple. When you're 29, the best gifts that you get are clothes. I mean, you're kind of already entering that realm, Grant. You're getting 100%. Close. You're just always trying to upgrade your wardrobe through birthdays and Christmases. So
this is all the clothes for the next year. So.
Correct.
I mean, as a guy who doesn't shop for myself like really at all anymore, every now and then, like you go scrolling through, like when did t-shirts become $40?
Kev, 40.
Well, if you go to Lululemon, they're 70.
They're 70. Dude, and you just pegged it right on the head, Kev. I got a Lulu shirt, just a nice, you know, it's a, you know, whatever their material is.
I mean, yeah, I love Lulu shirts. Alyssa will get me one every now and then, but you go there, I'm like, this is $69. Like, what the fuck?
$68. The new brand, which is sort of the new athletic premium like wear, is Vuori. I don't know if you have any Vuori stuff, or if you've tried any of their stuff. It's basically like another Lulu, and their prices are out of like, you know, $98 for a fucking sweatshirt, right? Like it's just like,
I think it's
how are they getting people to pay it? And I fall right into it because I buy their shit, and it's amazing. It is the best shit. But their t-shirt, how do you sell it? What is the margin on a $68 t-shirt? Also got a nice plaid long sleeve kind of jacket thing that really, for those that know me, I'm not very fashionable. Similar to Kevin, I don't shop for myself ever. And I severely upgraded the wardrobe with that as well. So
I was going to say, did you guys give anything cool? Like, did you spoil anyone?
I was going to ask the same thing.
Can Diesel get anything cool?
Yeah. I mean, when you get to be
the gift of family, my presents.
We got like five little nieces and nephews in my family now. So it's all about the kids these days. So I got my nephew and I guess both of my nephews, since they're going to be playing with it together.
Airsoft guns.
they are 3 and 2. So not yet.
Next year.
A couple years. I'll wait for couple years, then I'll be on my brother's bad side. I got him like a really big like fire engine truck that you can like sit on, and like it has a ladder that moves, and you can squirt water out of it.
What?
Oh, it works with water.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they're really happy with that. So that's probably the best gift I got.
A young Grant would have been circling the cul-de-sac with that thing nonstop. Actually, a current Grant might still. Someone, did I tell you guys, someone a while back offered me to come down to like it's a firefighter. I can't remember what county in Iowa, but to come down, and they said that if I came, I could drive a fire truck and spray the hose.
Dude.
Because I mentioned.
And you did fire it?
Well, I got school, man. It's difficult, but I want to go.
It's a lifetime experience.
I know. I want to go at some point because I mentioned it on Drake.
Do you still have that hookup? Do you still have that connection? We'll make it.
I can find it.
I imagine that the opportunity is still there if you want it.
It was awesome, though. Shout out that guy.
Shout out
to any first responders out there. I want to drive your fire truck, your ambulance, your police car, and use all the toys in each of those vehicles if you will allow me. I'll do it. I'll come in.
Goose Lake, Iowa.
Wow, Goose.
No idea where that's at.
Iowa. It's an hour and a half east of Iowa City, according to shout out Matt Cain.
That's unbelievable. I would say the best gift that I gave was my brother's into disc golf, like into it at the level at which he plays tournaments and trying to be competitive. And I got him a nice, specifically a disc golf branded, it's a brand that is only makes disc golf apparel. It's a nice, like athletic, sort of stretchy game day polo. It's for the guys who like to really look nice. They wear polos when they play. So it evidently was one that it was from a brand that he had been looking at before. And he's like, holy shit, how did you know about this brand? And I'm like, I know. I go, I'm into all, if I get into anything at all, I'm into it.
I feel like the people who are good at disc golf are also the people who are like really good at bags and bowling. I feel like those three sports, like that's like a holy trifecta of semi-athletic sports. That
elite ping pong. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There's a
billiards mix.
Probably great at pickleball.
Something that requires zero cardiovascular fitness whatsoever.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. A decent amount of technical skill.
Yes, I would say that you're probably correct. Like every other sport, the people at the top of disc golf are ultra impressive in their own way in what they do. I'm just a fan of greatness in anything.
You know what I came across? Just scrolling through the internet one day, is they have Microsoft Excel competitions.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I saw that.
I was watching that at like 2 a.m. over the summer, just mesmerized.
And betting I was betting.
I checked, you couldn't, but you could though. At the same time, you could bet on the forklift championships, and that was exhilarating.
You could actually bet on the forklift championship.
You could bet on the forklift championship, but no, the Excel. Everyone should look that up on YouTube because they're using Excel in ways I didn't even know was possible. And I didn't even know what was going on.
The people who know the full capability of Excel and can do it, it's something you don't even know what Excel is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, those skills are coming to an end here real soon because AI is taking over all that in the next like 3 years.
That's true.
I mean, Microsoft already, I think, launched their, I don't know if they launched it, but they've introduced it. Like they're like, I think they call it Copilot.
AI is going to take all of our jobs. Kev, you're going to be out of a job. There's just going to be a robot in there that knows everything about the
Can't tools. Take my job, baby.
Why not?
Human connection.
It won't matter at some point. No one will care.
You'd be surprised.
No one will matter. This show has been AI for the past 20 episodes.
Yeah, we're not even here right now.
Yeah, this is all.
We definitely have to actually make that happen.
Do you imagine? Actually, I heard that there was a YouTube channel? It was either a YouTube channel or a podcast where they had figured out how to produce content completely AI. They didn't have to show up. They just ran a program and it would not only pump out the content, but like upload the file to YouTube, write in the description, write in the title, do all that back end stuff.
I feel like you just have like what ChatGPT write a script basically, and then you use like deep fakes. I mean, we have hundreds of hours of our recordings of our voices. I feel like you could just like, you know, pair those things together and like boom, there's a podcast.
I would say anybody with AI, anybody with the skills in the different AI applications could definitely put together a podcast of what we're doing right now. And it would be almost indistinguishable from what I've seen with other stuff.
The thing I've noticed with like ChatGPT though is like it's wrong. It'll give you an answer, but it's not always right.
Well, that's perfect for our show.
I guess that tracks. That's consistent.
Yeah, AI is cool. Anyway, this like YouTube channel or podcast was getting like 100,000 downloads or views a month and monetizing it. So there was just somebody who ran a program pumping out like a video every 3 days or a podcast every 3 days. And they were making like, I don't know, 100,000, you know, probably making like $1,000 or $2,000 a month or something, like just on AI
produced. Literally nothing. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like
it is. Bowl games. Been watching any?
Oh yeah.
Watch a few.
Some of them are dog shit. Or
yeah, I mean, this
now,
is what you
now Grant, give me your opinion.
Or you have massive roster turnover in the course of 2 weeks. Yeah, you're going to get what you get.
What was your the one you're referring to? Which one did you dislike the most?
Well, I guess in a Big Ten West way, the Utah Northwestern game was
thrilling.
It was entertaining, but Jesus, man! I mean, that game was.
I was on the edge of my seat.
It was
any points. You might as well have been up 100.
There's been some brutal moments. I mean, the Tulane game today, which by the way, I put in our bowl pick 'em. I put 37 confidence points on Tulane over. Who the fuck were they even playing?
I mean, they played Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech.
In the pouring rain. It was awesome.
It was just pouring. I mean, it was just like absolute torrential downfall. People are fumbling the ball. It was like that game,
the Cure Bowl.
Yeah, whatever that one was.
See, that's peak bowl games is that they're always ridiculous. They always have some weird mascot for the bowl game. It's always so unique. Opt outs and the people who care about it, it's so unique too. It's like parents and people who have it in a pick 'em or they bet on the game. That's all who cares about it.
Yeah.
And then you got to watch people who this might be the only game they ever play in the pouring rain. And it's just fantastic. Every moment of it is great.
There are some people giving high effort. They're just like, oh, this is my shot. This is my moment. Yeah.
I mean, for like a lot, like we've had the conversation like a couple of weeks ago, I think, because like there's a lot of guys like in those lower to mid programs, like bowl games are a big deal for those programs because they don't go to them all the time. And
right. Oh, yeah.
This is going to be for a handful of those guys the last football game they ever play.
Virginia Tech against Tulane today. They hadn't won a bowl game since 2016. They were hype.
Who is it? Jacksonville State? First one ever?
That's true. JMU.
Crushed is an understatement. I do like Air Force, so if it had to be anyone, I'm happy Air Force won, but I'm crushed.
As a JMU-adjacent podcast, the end of the season really that was a downer. That was a letdowner.
I think JMU basketball is still undefeated, though.
Are they still undefeated?
I think still undefeated.
Wow.
I'll double check, but
it's incredible.
You're 12-0. 12-0 JMU Dukes. Now? They've always been D1 for basketball. It was just they were FCS before.
Well, yeah, you know what I meant.
Like they're eligible for the tournament.
All right.
I believe
and
so.
They're making it this year.
They should. Big one Saturday at noon.
Versus
Texas State.
Who got a win? Yesterday?
Yes.
Versus Rice.
Against the Owls.
Luke McCaffrey in his place.
I mean, some of the stories of college football is just like, so here's the seven colleges this guy's attended, and this is how he got here. He's playing in his 416th college football game this year.
Is that Christian's little brother, or is that like a
cousin? It's the youngest brother.
It's the youngest brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, the genetics ran out.
He was so like I remember when he was in high school. He was
right? Did he go Michigan to Nebraska?
That's Dylan McCaffrey.
Oh,
he went Michigan, Northern Colorado, play for his father Ed McCaffrey.
Oh,
and I guess his brother too was the wide receivers coach. But
his brother was the wide receivers coach.
How many Max McCaffrey?
Jesus Christ!
He played in the NFL. He was good. Like
McCaffrey just pumping him out or what?
There's four of them. Oh, Max played at Duke, I want to say, and then I think he was on the Packers for a little bit.
Jesus Christ!
Is Christian the second then, or
yes? And it's Christian, and then I was like Dylan was a senior when I was a freshman, and then Luke.
You say that as like yeah. Wait, I would guess they're from your area, right?
Yeah.
So. Wait, did you go to the same high school?
Yeah, I went to the same high school. So, yeah.
Oh, so that, I'm like, why the fuck does Grant know their fucking whole family story or whatever?
We must have talked about that on the DHT and not on the main show. Yeah, Grant went to high school with them, two of them. I guess.
Is there just like a shrine of Christian McCaffrey there or what?
There should be. I mean, that family carried the football program there for so long. They were consistent. Like, they're still good, but I mean, it was a different level. When
did Christian's team take home a state title or?
Yeah, I think he took home a few. They were playing. So there's five levels in Colorado, or actually, technically there's six if you add six man football too. And I think he only played 3A and 4A. Okay. So I think they were jumping around because the school's not that old. I think it's only like 12 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's way older than that actually. But it was fairly young when he was there.
I was about to say, I know Grant watches a lot of football, but he knows a lot about the McCaffreys.
He stalks this team. He's a huge CMC fan.
No, they don't let you. You can't go anywhere without hearing about that family at that high school. So,
did you see that of the turnover roster turnover? What the Georgia Florida State matchup is turning into?
Oh, well, Florida State's down 20 guys, right?
And as is Georgia. There's 40 players out in that game.
So disappointing.
Florida State is down. And I kind of get it from Florida State. Like, from Florida State, I wish they would have just said, fuck it, we're not playing in the game at all. Like,
I would have respected that.
We're rebelling.
Protest.
We're hanging the banner, and we're not even playing in this game. They're missing QB1, QB2, QB4, RB1, RB2, RB3, RB5. Wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2, tight end 1, and those are just the ones I scrolled halfway.
That's like their entire skill roster on offense?
On like almost one and two deep. I don't know what the lineman situation looks like, but even Georgia with 20 guys out might beat this Florida State team by 40.
Do you know the line off the top of your head?
It was. I think it opened up at like 14, right?
It's gone up.
What's it at?
It's 19 right now. As of this is December 27th. Yeah, that is for the number 6 team versus the number 5 team in the country.
Wow. Are Georgia's guys mostly opt outs, or you got a bunch of mostly transfers?
It's a mix between the two.
Yeah. Can I share? So there was an idea going around, and I think I support it.
Sure.
I think that if you transfer before the bowl game, you should be able to play in it. Like, I think Kyle McCord should have been
for the new team.
Syracuse. Yes.
That would be,
the NCAA that would have to rewrite their rules because you wouldn't be a student at that institution.
Well, they rewrote them to get guys paid. They can rewrite them for that too.
It's true.
Saved bowl season right there.
Technically, the semester is over by the time the bowl games roll around.
Winter classes?
True.
Yeah, I suppose, Grant. I suppose. Can you imagine, like...
Here's a better one.
Better. I enter the portal and then, you know, choose a school by December 8th and be like, shit, I got like a freaking 12-page paper to write for this... For this class I gotta do by
or this ethics December, class
by December 28th and then play in a game on January 1st.
Here's an even better rule, Grant. Not only do you get to play for your new team, you have to play and you can't come out.
You're not allowed to sub out?
You're not allowed to not play.
What if a guy's injured?
Only injury or death, which I guess is just really bad injury, will get you out of the game.
I thought it would have been fun. Like some of these games would have been totally ramped up. Like, oh shoot, we're back in. And then others would be still totally.
They should have a transfer bowl. Because everyone who transfers to a school, like you do, like a kind of like a Pro Bowl type deal.
Yeah.
Like, you just create a roster, like split the country in half one way, east, west, north, south. I don't know.
That would be nuts.
Yeah, and just do the transfer bowl, and then you know recruiting doesn't open up until after that game, and like you. Coaches use it kind of like the Senior Bowl, like scouting the guys they want to go out.
Did you see? Well, your boy Lane was complaining the other day about the transfer portal dates. Did you see that?
I don't think he's the only one. I've seen a ton of coaches come out and be like, "This system is fucking broken right now."
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of vocal complaints.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate just the way the season lines up with the academic calendar.
Yeah.
Because it has to be based around the academic calendar because guys need to be enrolled in their new schools.
Yeah, you got to get – like if you want to be a part of spring ball, you got to be enrolled by middle of January. So if you want to be enrolled by then, you got to basically be applied and, you know, under – like at least a week or two before – I mean, if that's if it's on like a expedited application process. Like you got to basically have that figured out by the end of the year. Portal doesn't open up till like the first few days of December. So you have like, what, 4 weeks to get in the portal, find somewhere, decide, and go.
And yeah, and that's why it sucks too. It's like even if you want to play in the bowl game, and say you were the second string quarterback, but the first string quarterback is opting out, but you for some reason want to transfer, maybe you're getting paid to go somewhere else, whatever. You like, there's no way you can play in that game and still transfer.
Speaking of getting paid, was that stat true? I saw it in the Discord and you put it in the message, Kev, that Minnesota paid their third string quarterback $30,000 just to stay and play in the bowl game.
That was the rumor, yeah, because I think it's a pretty well, like, I don't think it's like a rumor. It's like that's what they did. Yeah, because I think 1 and 2 both transferred, and this guy, he was like a senior and he was just going to graduate and be like, I'm done. I'm getting married in January. I just want to go start my life. Like, he just didn't want to stick around for bowl prep and all that stuff. And they're like, we have no one else on our roster who can play quarterback. Please stay for another 3 weeks. And apparently they made it worth his time to do so.
But he threw for 28 yards.
He threw for 28 yards.
Threw through 26 yards, 8 for 16 for 26 yards. They paid him $1,100 per passing yard.
He's a genius businessman right there.
No shit, yeah, that'll make for a nice little wedding gift right there.
Who's the agent?
Like, I don't know how well-funded Minnesota's collective is, but like,
right.
Wouldn't you rather throw that at a guy in a portal or like some guy that's going to stay on your roster? Or
I mean, it's not like the bowl game they played in mattered.
Right, yeah, you're 5-7. You really care that much about winning this game? You
barely made a bowl game.
And I mean, you literally could have thrown anyone back there and throw for 26 yards.
They just go triple option the whole game?
I didn't watch the game, but I might have to go rewatch it just because that's just hilarious.
Another fun stat, this is out of the topic of conversation, but yesterday I saw a stat on NFL receiving yards by college to this week in the season. Iowa currently 7th in the NFL with most total combined receiving yards of Iowa alums. And only
one receiver,
a couple hundred of that is from wide receivers. We have like
Zamir.
We have 6,000.
Is it wide receiver?
We have 3,000. Yeah. Amir. Is that the only one?
Does that count Charlie Jones too? If he was just here a year?
I don't think so. Okay. He would count under Purdue, I'm pretty sure, on that one.
Brandon's still in practice squad, right? Brandon.
I believe so. Yeah. Just over 3,000 receiving yards total, or 3,600 maybe, or something like that. And it's all from Hawk, who RIP to his knee, unfortunate injury there. Mm-hmm. Kittle and LaPorta.
Who I think are 2, 3, and 4 for tight end receiving yards.
And Noah has a good amount as well.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's a great, like, we're 7th in total receiving yards as a college, and we have 3 tight ends who are doing it. Wild.
Really good tight ends. And Noah is really good too.
Noah is really good. Speaking of Iowa, guys, this is an Iowa football podcast. Spend the last 14 minutes on that. Jay Higgins is in the building.
Staying in the building.
And he's staying in the building.
How about it?
Initial reaction, thoughts on that one? I mean, how big is that?
I mean, that's huge for our defense next year, obviously. I mean, it goes without saying. I don't know. I guess I wasn't terribly surprised, though. Like, he seems like a guy who really enjoys playing at the college level.
Yeah.
I think he wouldn't be a terribly high draft pick.
No.
You know, he has room where he can improve his draft status. And I think, you know, this is college football now where you can make a lot of money playing college football for a year.
It's true. It's true. The Swarm was probably throwing him a decent chunk to stay.
Make him an offer he can't refuse.
I mean, it makes sense, right? You're going to get a lot more return on that investment than throwing on some 18-year-old kid who can commit for a year and who knows how long he's going to stay after that.
It's true. It's true.
So do you guys think this is big, though, for potentially convincing other guys to stick around? Like, I saw Nick Jackson just got another year of eligibility. And then also, I don't think, like, I mean,
Castro can stay. Coop can stay. You know, I don't know. It would, as a team-wise perspective, as like, hey, this guy's staying. Yeah, we're going to be better next year. Sure, I'll come. I'll run it back from a – I don't know if, like – how big the money pot is, though, you know?
Yeah.
Like, can we afford to keep all those guys around?
Right, because you have to pay them NIL money because those guys are taking – like, theoretically, you're not going to give those guys scholarships.
I mean, Jay Higgins, say he signs a minimum contract in the NFL next year, he's making $750,000.
Right. And, you know, Swarm's not paying him that kind of money. But – there's scholarship distribution that has to be worked around here. And, you know, all those guys that we want to come back, Coop, Schulte, Higgins, Jackson,
Castro,
they're all on scholarship, which means that tuition books is paid for. So these guys have to come back. Not only do they have to do now a spring semester, they also have to do another fall semester. It's another year of school versus like Kevin and I, we were just done. Like we're done with classes right now. And they wouldn't have been asking us to come back anyway. So they have to pay for books. They have to pay for tuition and a scholarship's not going to take care of that. So you have to take care of that. And then you have to go on top of it. And you know, what if it's 100 G's? I don't know what it is, but what if it's 100 G's per guy? Coop's certainly worth that for 1 year.
Minimum.
Higgins is worth
way more than that. I mean, Higgins Coop, we're talking about first, second round draft pick.
I understand. You know, so
the like $100,000 is pennies on the dollar.
Swarm to keep all those guys is probably looking at $1 million or something like that. You know, like
over the course of the next 12 months. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's
But you know, from the perspective of like, okay, he's investing in the team to come back and try to win a Big Ten title next year. He's like, yes, I can see the momentum of more guys buying.
It doesn't hurt.
Yeah, hanging around another year. Yeah, for sure. Especially, yeah, if you're like in the same class with those guys, like you came up with those guys, like those are your boys for sure. Yeah.
And my initial reaction is to say it doesn't hurt whatsoever, but maybe it does. I mean, not. It's not going to hurt directly, like Higgins coming back and them seeing that. And I love the announcement, by the way. It wasn't some long thing like da 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 da. That being said, whatever. It was just I've got more to prove.
Love
just a picture of him and I've got more to prove. Just so Iowa, so perfect. But for the Swarm, every single one of those guys that comes back again, we just talked about the value on that dollar face value. It's like. Fuck, we got to find more money. Because we're going to try and get all of them. But yeah, so I don't know. It's a little bit of a conundrum there. I think, man, if Coop comes back, the fan base will just, I mean, there will be some households that are fully tented all across Iowa if that happens.
Oh, for sure.
Mine being one of them.
Yeah. Who knows, man? Who knows?
It could happen. It could happen. I mean, this defense was a top, 10 defense, top 5 defense, however you want to classify it. If they get all those guys to come back, I mean, God. Speaking of that defense, going to be taking on a backup quarterback in this bowl game coming up. This is technically the bowl game preview, by the way. Because we're not doing an episode the night before the game. Like,
you got big New Year's Eve plans?
It's New Year's Eve. Two, it's going to be the morning of the game. No one's listening to it when the game's coming on, and you know, and we'll do an episode the day after, and that'll come out like Wednesday next week, and that'll kick off the new year. But yeah, Milton decided he's not playing. I guess 1 week out from the game.
Kind of a dick move on his part, but I'm here for it.
They asked like Schulte about it today in like the post practice interview down in Orlando, and he's like, "Oh, we didn't even know that."
Oh shit! We're gonna and I for correct me if I'm wrong. The backup, he's the true freshman, like guy that paid millions of dollars.
Five star. Yeah. I don't care who you are. You come in as a brand new QB, first game reps, and you see the Iowa defense.
I know Tennessee has lost a ton of defensive players. What's their offensive situation as far as opt-outs and transfers looking like?
I think their running back opted out too.
I know that, yeah.
Yeah, their RB1 is out. He rushed for over 1,000 this year. He was really talented. I think they had a receiver or two also decide to not play. I heard that their secondary is down to like...
They've lost 7 defensive backs, I think.
Yeah.
I think most teams carry like 11 to 12 on scholarship.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
This is Tennessee.
D lineman, O lineman, DB, 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 DB. Jesus. O line, DB, 2 running backs, O line, wide receiver, DB, 2 linebackers, and their quarterback. Jesus, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, so I think like most teams will have like 3 guys per class on scholarship at DB.
Does that show Iowa's?
Yes.
Petrus
wasn't even technically on the roster. Vines, that's probably the big one, and Tom and Ontario. Labus, obviously a backup QB.
Our injuries that we've had for the last months. Yeah.
Our injuries are the ones that hurt the most, not even the opt-outs.
Oh, without a doubt. I'd be really curious to see.
When I heard that today,
they went out there at DB. I wonder if they're hosting open tryouts, man.
Maybe. Hey, if you're,
I mean, because you can get away with moving DBs down to like linebacker. It's a little bit easier of a transition.
Going up,
it's hard to find guys on your roster that can move to defensive back.
Yeah.
You can try a couple wide receivers or a running back here or there.
Probably not going to work out, though. Wow. That is a – what did they spray paint Cheez-It on Rusty Feth's beard or on his head?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think that's the back of his head. But
his head?
Yeah, I do believe so. I don't know what kind of paint they used, but I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, the hospitality room. So what you're seeing there is it came out yesterday on social media. Must have been the first day they got down there. So they get about a week down there. And at the team hotel, they take one of those conference rooms, and they just fill it with like table games and arcade games and PlayStations and Xboxes and whatever, all the things, because
place for guys to hang out.
Because while you're down there, sure, you get a little bit of time on those first few days to like,
you might get like 1.5 days to go explore the city.
You can go out like $6 or 6 p.m. and you get some per diem money to go spend and hang out. But you're basically in the hotel for a lot of it. And so they try to create a place that's fun for the guys. Nobody's heads got spray painted, though, when we were there, I don't believe.
No. I think was the Rose Bowl the only place that did haircuts for us?
That's the only one I remember doing haircuts. Rose Bowl was fun. I mean, Lowry's.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Fuck.
No, fuck yeah. The Beef Bowl was definitely the best part of that experience.
So they'll be down there.
Tampa was better than LA.
Yeah.
For our short time in New York, I actually really enjoyed it.
I would agree.
We got down there only like a handful of days, like 3 days before the game or 2 days.
I thought it was.
We traveled on our what would have been our Thursday, right? Which was our off day.
Something like that, yeah.
And so we had that entire night to ourselves. No, we went to the play.
You guys went to a Broadway show?
We went to a Broadway show, yeah. We saw the Rockettes.
They took all of you guys to the Rockettes?
Yeah, half the guys were sleeping, but yeah. The Rockettes.
Like, you're telling me Drake Kulik went to the Rockettes?
Drake Kulik was at the Rockettes. So was the rest of the Iowa Rockettes.
Tyler Kluver was not at the Rockettes.
Was that something you could opt out of? I don't think so, because there's dudes cashed out that would have definitely chosen not to have gone.
Is his dad asleep front row at the Rockettes?
I'm pretty good at remembering what we did on the bowl games.
Radio City? Yeah.
Did we go to the Rockettes, dude?
You don't remember the dancing Santas and all that shit?
You see like
not even one little bit.
You see like 45 women all the same height dancing?
Yep, there is. I mean, it was Christmas time, so it was obviously Christmas themed.
I have a cousin who's like ultimate goal is to be a Rockette.
That's hilarious. I had no idea.
I was the one that got concussed that trip, man. How do you not remember this?
I want to say that we went, and then maybe like some guys like just I don't know. I don't remember the Rockettes even a little bit, Kev. And I'm not even saying you're wrong. I believe
Radio City Music Hall or whatever the hell it is when we saw the Rockettes.
You only went to one of the most famous music venues in the world and saw one of the most famous acts in the world and don't remember it.
I don't remember.
Maybe you're one of those guys that just cashed out the entire time.
Could have been. I might have slept. I don't remember.
So, shoot. I thought we were seeing Penn and Teller. I didn't know the Rockettes were there.
But no, I mean, I'm obviously not a big play guy, but I thought that was cool. You know, like you said, it's like one of the famous places in the world and one of the famous things to do in New York City. And then we went to the 9/11 Memorial, which is pretty cool to see.
I remember that. I fully remember that. Man,
weren't asleep during that one.
No. The 9/11 Memorial was very, very cool in the way that it can be cool. It's especially cool when they've got the place like it opens at like 10 a.m. and they took us at like 9. Mm. And so we had the place to ourselves, like up on that top floor where you look out, you take the elevator all the way to the top. It was just the Hawkeyes and our team.
Well,
and it was
the cool thing about the Pinstripe Bowl is it's run by like the Yankees organization. Like the people for the Yankees front office, like our loans, like kind of run the bowl. And obviously they are first class program.
They got a lot of money.
New York City. Yeah.
Yeah. When I saw Milton was out, by the way, I put some extra money on the Hawks.
Plus 6.5 still, right?
The line went didn't down. Change from what I could.
I think it opened at 8. So.
Oh, did it?
It was plus 6.5. Hawks plus 6.5 last I checked.
Well, I mean, you guys probably didn't have picks for tonight, but we could just kind of do them on a whim here for some bowl games that are coming up. We could choose three if you want to. And it could just be one of these little like quick
DJ Kevin,
you know, one of those.
All right, sure. And,
oh God,
what do we got coming up? You know, we can just talk it out.
You want me just? What do you want?
I guess we're not doing a New Year's Eve. The playoffs for the same day as the Hawks.
So only the college football playoff coming up.
By the time our next podcast comes out, those all of the bowl games will have been done except for the national championship. So, I guess I'll just give my. Oh, I mean, I think you can take Georgia minus 19 to the bank. I mean,
so these are, we're doing picks right now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah, so. All right, I got to write the, hold on. Okay.
Give me Georgia, whatever. Let me pull up the old Betfred app. Betfred's title sponsor of the podcast. Download the Betfred Iowa app today. Shout out to them for being the title sponsor this season. Loved working with them. Want to do more in the off season, potentially with some basketball stuff, some other fun sports stuff that we don't have as much tie to. So we can just get nuts. We can get crazy. Download that Betfred Iowa app, Betfred Bonus King. And at one point they were like giving away money. If you just lose bets, they would just give you back these free bets. I just cashed in on those. I've run my account up to like 2x what it started at. So trying to find the odds or the lines here, but give me Georgia, whatever they are, minus Florida State. I just told you that I took Iowa. I took them money line, but I'm obviously going to take the easy win there, or the easier win, and just a cover of plus 6.5 on that. And then I'm going to have to hunt for a third one. But Kev, you got anything that pops out at you?
You know, I'm chasing. Do you guys mind if I give more than three picks?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Give as many as you want.
All right. Well, I think I'm like three games below 500, and that's just unacceptable. So okay. We're going to have to spray and hope that we hit a few.
Spray and pray.
Give me Oregon minus 16.5 versus Liberty. I feel like Oregon's got a really strong culture going on there. I feel like they're paying a lot of guys to stay and become good football players. And I think they are a steamroller, and they will beat the shit out of Liberty.
Had a phone call with Kevin Casper the other day, by the way.
Oh, yeah? How's Kevin doing?
He is doing fantastic. He said he's been stretching over the last year more, and he can do the splits at 40, whatever years old.
Does Kyler want to be a Hawkeye?
We'll leave other conversations. All of Iowa Nation now is going to think that we had a call. Trust me, he's not calling.
He didn't say
me.
No.
He's not calling me for those things. But we did talk about Kyler a little bit in his situation. So,
all right. Moving on. For as far as people who want to be Hawkeyes, the majority of the Hawkeye roster wants to be Hawkeyes.
True.
You're keeping a lot of guys for the bowl game that are playing. So give me the Hawks plus 6. And
do you want the 6.5? Can I just give that to you?
Yeah, give me the half. Yeah, you're such a gentleman. Okay. And you know what? It's the last game of the year. Can't hold back now. Give me the under on 35.5.
Love that. Love that.
Moving on. I believe Michigan is the better football team than Alabama. The one thing I'd be worried about is giving Nick Saban a month to prepare for a football game is awfully dangerous.
Yeah. Mm.
But I think Michigan is hungry. I think they're the hungrier team. And I think they are the better, more talented team. And I think that they will win this game and cover the 1.5-point spread. So give me Michigan.
Shit, okay.
And then, you know what? Ah, man. Give me the over in that game. 44.5.
Wow. 44.5.
44.5. Give me the over.
God, yeah, that's very reasonable.
I can see that.
I could totally see that happening. I could totally see a 25-28.
I'm going to yield my time, but maybe come back to me.
Okay. My third pick is going to be the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Okay.
Who's playing quarterback for them?
I don't know. They're minus 3 versus Missouri. I know Missouri's a good football team. They were great this year.
See, the thing about these games that aren't playoff games, I have no idea who else playing in these games.
You're right. So this is
I'm not doing my homework enough that I know what I'm actually betting on.
Yeah, it's total shots in the dark, but I am taking Ohio State minus 3 in that game. Okay. So my three picks will be Ohio State, Georgia, and the Iowa Hawkeyes to cover all of their spreads.
Wow.
Grant, hit me with your give me your bonuses, give me your main plays, give it all.
Oh my gosh, there's so much. I'm gonna take Rutgers minus 2.
That's his first pick, Rutgers.
Against Miami. I think that this game, I think Miami is frankly upset that they're at this game. I don't think they want to be there. I'm gonna take Rutgers minus 2, and I think that's
home field advantage, man. They're at the Pinstripe Bowl. Rutgers is just across the river. Miami's gotta come up to snow.
Yeah. Also, my mother did get me a Sopranos T-shirt for Christmas, so you gotta focus, gotta respect it. That was a sign from the gambling universe.
Where was that in the best gift segment?
Hey, Gary,
in this segment,
when you're done with your picks, I want you to go back and look up the Pinstripe Bowl records. I would be willing to bet that Big Ten has the far superior record in that game versus the ACC.
Okay. And then I'm also going to take – I'll take Missouri plus 3. I think Missouri, I don't think they have as many opt-outs. I'm going to take Missouri. I like what they're doing. And then I will also take – oh, boy, this is getting contentious. I think I'm going to take Toledo.
This is getting contentious.
I'm going to take Toledo plus 3.5, the Arizona Bowl. I like Toledo. They did disappoint me massively the last time we did this, but it's okay. I'll restore my trust in them. And then, oh boy.
Is that still the Barstool Arizona Bowl, or is that
I don't know. I think it's still,
I think the Barstool, that was a 1 year contract, maybe.
No, it's the Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl still.
Wow. Okay, perfect. Yeah, really fun game last year. So I'll take that as well. Can I just put my pick of Washington 22-1 to win the national championship in this?
Sure.
All right. We're just gonna remind of that one. I have Alabama 15-1 as well, but I also kind of agree. I think Michigan's gonna win. Is that so? I'm not gonna include that, but
I mean,
I'll just say it now.
Yeah, you have to bet Michigan because you got the hedge the other way.
I do, but I'm, oh geez, I know. I just, but what if I just double down? Like, what if I just double it on?
You're a crazy man, and I.
What if Washington? What if I just double down on Washington?
I'm absolutely here for it.
And then, oh boy, lastly, I just want to give out one more. Penn State. I think they're going to beat Ole Miss. I think Penn State's good.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And that's -4.5. I'm sorry. This was very impromptu, but I like those.
Yeah, I really put you on the spot.
Honestly, this is a lot more fun just being put on the spot like this. Give me under 48.5 in the Ohio State-Mizzou game. Two good defenses there.
Mm. Great pick.
This is going to be fun to follow all these.
Love your Oregon. I would have taken that myself too.
It's good. It's a good pick.
Hop on, baby. Hop on the train.
I'll do it then. All right, let's do it together. Oregon, -6.5. I did.
You want in on that?
Yeah, let's do it as a pod pick.
Okay.
I love that pick.
Yeah. I did want their – I had them in the Conference USA Championship against
– Speaking of getting in on bets together, Kev, just a real quick – there's nobody more hype. Well, that's false, but I am extremely, extremely excited for Vegas. And that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's going to be a good time, booze.
It's going to be a good time. It'll be my first time in Vegas, and I'm very excited.
We're going to do it right.
What was that under again? Sorry, Kevin.
The Ohio State-Mizzou game?
48.5. Perfect. Thank you.
You want to hop on that one too? You liked it.
I do like it. I'll do it. All right. I'll do it. You got me. Real hard to convince me.
Is there anything else that you two would like to tell the Walk-On Army, the listenership of the Walk-Ons, before the year 2023 ends?
It's been a great 2023. Not always. Some ups and downs, but hey, we appreciate y'all. We wish you a happy new year and a blessed 2024.
Grant.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Love the Walk-On Army. Great year. Love everyone. Thank you for listening. You're the Hawk. 2024.
Yes. Yeah. Hawks by a million in 2024 and beyond. We are appreciative of you turning us on in the car while you mow the lawn, while you take trips, while you're at work, wherever you are, spending time with us. We enjoy doing it. We're going to continue to pump out some more content in the new year, hopefully with a bunch of the faces that will be playing their last game in a Hawkeye uniform on Monday. We'll have a recap podcast on Wednesday. That'll be the programming for next week. It'll be the only podcast of next week, the first week of the year. And then you can expect, that'll be the 8th. Monday the 8th, 1 week after the new year in the Iowa game, we will be back to our regular scheduled program. So for Kevin and Grant, I'm the tech guy, Clove, and we'll talk to you in the next year. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.